Turn to James chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And what we're discovering, as we count it all joy, we're discovering certain things about trust. About trust. How much we depend and rely on the living God. James 1, verse 1 through 5, very quickly. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and does not reproach, and it shall be given. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. This is the third installment of Deal With It. How do we learn to get through the challenges of life? How do we come out with victory? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for giving us this opportunity to share your word. May we do so in a way, God, that honors you. May we lift you up and exalt your name. And Lord, may we share with the believer things that they need in their life to face the challenges, but more than that, to bring you glory and honor. Help us to deal with life in such a way that we can show that we are the people of God. We pray this in Jesus' strong name and for his sake. Amen. So what will joy do? If we count it all joy, what will that do in our lives? How do we deal with life by counting it all joy? The first thing we learned is what we call preparation. Trust preparation. Who are you trusting when you approach that trial? When the moment of impact takes place, who and where is your confidence? If you have joy, then your confidence is in God. Joy prepares us. Joy frames our mind in such a way that now we can deal with the issues of life. If you face life with a depressed attitude, and if you face life feeling that, okay, I just can't stand this, then what you're doing, you're inviting the negativity to consume you. Now, remember who James was writing to. He was writing to those who were scattered all over the Roman Empire. How did they get scattered? Through tribulation, through persecution, through trial. And in every one of those situations, James said to them, count it all joy. Joy will prepare for you. Joy will help you. If you're going into the hospital, get some joy. If you're facing a legal issue in your life, get some joy. If you're going through financial hardships, go into that situation with the joy of the Lord. Why? Because God's joy is actually your strength. It prepares you. It helps you to have that frame of mind. And you say, without a doubt, God is going to take care of this. So look at how James writes to his fellow believers. He says, I know what you're going through. I'm facing it also. I'm a Jew. I'm going through it just like you, but I'm going to count it all joy because I know that God will never fail. You've got to believe that. But not only does the joy prepare us, it brings us into a process. Notice how it goes on in the verse by saying, knowing this, that the testing or trying of your faith, look at the word, works patience. Now, the last thing we want to do in a trial or in a struggle is to slow down. We want to put on the gas. We want to put the pedal to the metal, hurry up and get it over. I'm done with it. But that's not what God says is good for you. When you slow down and you recognize where you are and what you're going through, you begin to understand some things about God. In Sunday school today, we studied about Joseph and how Joseph landed in not only in Egypt, but in a prison in Egypt. for something he did not do. Innocent man going through suffering, landed in a prison. Now he's asking himself, not only how did I get here, but why am I here? He had to slow down. And sometimes God will put you in situations where you've got to slow down and know that he is God. But in those moments, God is not there to break you down. He's there to build you up. Look at what the verse says. Faith, people say, well, just have faith. But faith says, wait a minute, I'm looking for patience. Faith works patience. Now, what else is going to happen? Patience is going to have its perfect work. In other words, God's shaping you through that circumstance. But if you hurry up and rush through it, well, you're not going to be complete. You're going to come out of that trial lacking something. So James, in summary, is telling the believer, same thing that happened to Joseph when he was in prison. He had to go through that process, and it developed him in his life, in his faith, so that when he did come out of prison, he said, man, I'm just like SpongeBob. I'm ready. I'm ready to face life. I'm ready to face any more trials that might come my way. I still got my joy. How about that? Still got my joy, but now patience had worked on me so that if I lacked anything, patience brought it to pass, because if I needed wisdom, God was going to give me wisdom. It's a process, church. Now, I'm not saying that any of you should just take the attitude, just grin and bear it, you know, get through this. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that when you're going through those times of suffering, you better believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in you. He's doing a work that, amen, nobody else can do. It doesn't feel good being on that wheel where the potter is shaping us. But God is not there to just tell you, I'm going to get you to feel good as you go through life. No, I'm improving you. I am molding you. So that when this process is over, you're going to look like me. You're going to look like God. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. You were not born with it. And when you were born again, you didn't get it immediately. God has to shape you in his likeness, and he does it through the struggle. So what has James said? Get your attitude right, count it all joy, but then let joy tag team with patience, and patience is going to come in and do a perfect work so that you will be complete. Just for a show of hands, even you online, how many of you have grown through your struggle? How many of you have gotten to the place where you said to yourself, I didn't know God could do that. I didn't know mercy could work like that. I didn't know goodness could work like that. And yet God worked on you. You're better now. You're stronger now. Even though you had to go through some struggles. Sometimes God had to wrestle with us. Sometimes he has to do like he did Jacob. When wrestling with Jacob, he had to, you know, get his leg to where he had to limp when he walked, but he limped right. And he could say, I'm glad God broke me, because I would have gone on through life thinking I could do it my way. But then I discovered the goodness of God. There is a trust process. We trust God as we go through this, but we also are prepared by God because we trust him going into it that we have his joy. I can guarantee you one thing, you will never face a trial that you'll have to go through it alone. God said, I'll be with you. Matter of fact, he made a promise in Matthew 28. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I will always be there. Amen. Even while the world is fading and the world is going through some crazy stuff right now, we're in a bad shape. But then again, we're in a good place. Bad shape, good place. How can you get the two to come together? Because we still got joy. COVID didn't drive out joy. The threat of war does not drive out joy, but the promise of Jesus. The promise that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what gives us this great confidence. Have faith, church. Know that he is God. Know that it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. I want to make a turn, though. I want to get into something a little bit different today. Not just the process, and not just to say that we're prepared, but I want to talk about proclamation. You're making a statement when you count it all joy. You're making a statement to the world who you believe in, where your values are, how strong you are. When you count it all joy, you are declaring to the world, the Lord is my God. I know you don't see it right now, but look at the word, simply count it all joy. And then as you look at that word, count it all joy, just kind of glance at somebody next to you and say, deal with it. Okay, look over the other shoulder and say, tell somebody to deal with it. You online, give somebody a note, tell them, deal with it. How do we deal with life? You deal with it by considering it all joy. Next couple of Sundays, we're going to deal with labeling, how you label stuff, how you label things, how you name it, okay? How you go about life, that's bad, that's good, that's ugly, that's pretty, that's messed up, that's jacked up, that's great. We label stuff. Where do we get that from? You got it from Adam. God gave Adam the authority to put a label on things. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 tells us that God created everything. He created all of the creatures. But then after God created them, God didn't turn around and label them or name them. He brought them to Adam. Read your book. Whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name assigned to it. Now, what was God doing? God was doing two things here. One, giving Adam authority, because he had already said that, I will give you authority over every living creature, everything that moves on this planet, you have authority over it. But then secondly, God was looking at what was in Adam, that the nature, get this, of God was in Adam. And so by that, everything that Adam called it, God said, that's all right. That boy got me in him. He's doing what I want him to do. Now, as far as I've read, God never took that authority from man. Never came back and revoked it. Now, Satan has stolen it. Now, his job is to deceive, to lie, and to get you to do everything else to destroy your own life and sin. But you still have that authority to speak. You're still with me? Wave your hand, still with me. I know this is deep. Don't go to sleep on me because I might come over there and slap you. Violence in church. or get somebody else to tell you, deal with it. Here's the point. You and I go through life mislabeling things rather than giving it the glory that God has said. We'll say, I'm in a terrible mess. Who says? Did you get that from the Spirit of God, or did you get that from your own understanding? Y'all stay with me now. Stay with me. Don't lose me right now. I'm talking about a proclamation. So when it is that we make this statement of counting it all joy, now, how much are we going to count of it as joy? Only part of it? We're going to count it all joy. Stay with me now. Stay with me. Because some of you have gotten to this point in life, and you've been kind of wishy-washy, up and down. Oh, I got a bad marriage. Y'all got silent on me. Oh, I can't ever get my life together. Is that what you're going to call it? Why is it me with all the bad luck? Why do I get the bad kids? Is that what you're going to call it? Now remember, James is writing to people who are scattered all over the Roman Empire, and many of them don't know what the next day is going to bring. But he's saying to them, count it all joy. Let me take y'all to the country for just a little bit. All right, in the country, we'd go out and we would buy stuff and bring it back home in containers, whether it's in a 5-gallon bucket or in something. But everything on the farm got repurposed. When the container got empty, we put other stuff in it. You go to the store and you get a jar of something, and it may have had mayonnaise in it. Well, when it's empty, you don't take that jar and throw it away. You put some jam in it. You make some jam, or you might make some tomatoes, and you're going to stew them and going to put them in the same jar. All right? Y'all still with me? Now, what you're going to do, you need to change the label. Otherwise, somebody might be thinking, oh, this is Hellman's mayonnaise. No, it ain't. You relabel it. You call it what you got in it. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Now, for you to go through life, and just because Satan put something on you, that doesn't change what you got in you. Are y'all in the building? Rather than saying, I'm a mess, you don't have that authority. But what you can say, I'm still God's child. I still belong to Jesus. Look at somebody, tell them, put the right label on it. More on that on next Sunday. Now, when you do this, you develop a spiritual mindset. Rather than you thinking that the outcome is going to be bad, you automatically focus on that which is good. That's why James starts the book with the joy, and he ends the book also with the joy. He said, is any among you that are sick? Let them pray. Is any merry? Let them sing. If they are sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray. Why? James is saying, no matter what you're going through your ups or through your downs, still count it joy. If you're having a problem, count it joy. If you're struggling through life, count it joy. Folks cussing you out, look at them and say, I'm counting it all joy. Why? Because God has given me the authority to say, this is joy. Wasn't it Jesus that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Another verse, Jesus said, by your words, you will either be justified, or by your words, you will either be condemned. When you count it all joy, you're communicating on a different level now. You're not communicating on the flesh level. You're communicating on the level of where the Spirit now is directing you. And then the Holy Spirit says, watch me work with this. Watch me produce out of this which you thought couldn't work. I'm going to show you how it does work. I wish I had time to preach this. That's why I'm going to pick it up on next week. Are y'all still here? Look at somebody, tell them, what you name is what you live with. If you say your husband or your wife always messing up, guess what's going to happen? That's all you're going to see. You're not going to see the 10 things they do good. You're going to look for the one thing they do wrong. Why? Because you labeled it. What you name, you live with. But when you start telling them, you just the sweetest thing this side of heaven. I'm trying to help y'all out now. Boy, that's a good start to help you in your relationship. You're a real blessing to me. even though they got on your last nerve. What you name is what you live with. And if you can live with it, ladies and gentlemen, God does not want you to go through life miserable. And the greatest source of misery is within you. How you call life, how you label it. When you start saying to yourself, God is always in control, which he is. And for that reason, I'm going to call life the best thing I can. I'm going to call it joy. I'm going to call it good, because that's what God said about it. When we think about our dealings in life, we often think about what Jesus had to go through. Was everything that Jesus went through joyous? No. But you know what he did? He counted it all joy. The authority that had been lost through Adam's sin has now been reclaimed through Jesus Christ. He said something on the cross. It's recorded in John, where we find Jesus uttering the words, "It is finished." Three words. It is finished. And when Jesus finished that work, he meant that whatever Adam had torn down, the second Adam had now rebuilt. The bridge between you and God had now been rebuilt. Everything that the devil sought to destroy, Jesus came back and reversed it all. You are now free to go. But now, you being free to go does not give you the authority to go through life and mess it up again. The only way you can live your life, you've got to be spirit-directed. You've got to be born of God in order to operate in the Spirit and in the power of God. That's why you need to be born again. People say, well, yeah, you get born again, you'll stay out of hell. That's part of it, but that's the afterlife. Let's talk about this life, what it means to walk in Christ and to have this divine authority from God. When Jesus said, "It is finished," now you as a child of God can go through life, and when you see messed up stuff, you can report it. God, that's messed up. Lord, what are you going to do about it, and what do you want me to do about it? Now you're in a different realm. You're in a different realm. Let me see the hands of people in here who have no problems at all. Everything going good. Just as I thought. Just as I thought. Y'all got some jacked up stuff going on in your life too, right? People posting stuff to your bank account that you didn't order. Fraud going everywhere. Folk lying. I'm getting ready to pay a bill that I didn't purchase. Come on, somebody. Somebody has gotten some information. Now, I could say, now, I did report it. Yes, sir, you're going to mess with my money. No, no. I reported it, but I first went to God. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to call this? Guess what the Lord told me? Count it all joy. Guess what God's going to tell you? Count it all joy. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know. And I doubt if I can do a lot about it, but I know somebody who can. And when you report it to him and call it all joy, you're saying, God, I'm going to deal with this, but I'm going to do so by your power. Lord, have mercy. I feel like preaching, but it's time for me to cut it off right now. Let me give you a couple of points. Then I'm going to let you go home. When you count it all joy, you're looking at a circumstance that could be impossible, and you're saying, with God, all things are possible. You're looking at a circumstance where you're saying, I just began the process of looking at God and how he's going to oversee this. How God is going to lead me and direct me to the right answer. Remember, as you go through these things, you're getting stronger. You're growing. But at the same time, God is moving. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Since the beginning of creation up to this point, and as I look forward to eternity, God never made a mistake. Not one. So don't ever think that he's going to make a mistake in dealing with you and helping you to go through your struggle. Yeah, but preacher, that don't help my doctor's appointment next week. Yes, it does. Because while you're going to that doctor, the great physician is going to go into the room with you. And while that doctor is doing what he wants to do, the great physician is saying, let me fix it. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. When you name it, you live with it. I'm going to say this as I prepare to close. Some of you are living out what you said earlier in your life. You're living it out right now. Oh, I'm just a, I don't know. I'm just a jerk. I'm just lost. Quit putting a label on you that God did not create. Lord have mercy, I feel like preaching here. It can be corrected. It can be adjusted. It can be renewed. Viktor Frankl faced probably some of the worst conditions any human could face other than Jesus. Viktor Frankl was in a concentration camp. He watched loved ones murdered by people who hated his kind. Viktor Frankl, in that situation, which he later came on to be one of the greatest psychologists of our age, he learned something. He learned that it's not what happens around you that makes you. It's what happens in you. And he discovered something that could not be conquered. People can conquer your body. They can dismember you. They can do all kinds of things to your body, but they can't get into that inner sanctuary of your soul. Only you can let them in there. And Viktor Frankl discovered an inner strength, something that kept him going. Every time he would see a crisis, he'd put it behind him. Why? Because he had some joy. He believed that God didn't bring him this far to leave him now. He was a Jew, but he also had something called faith that worked on the inside. You got to have that same thing in your life. You got to proclaim to the situations that you're dealing with, I'm not going to count it as a loss. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm not going to count it as breaking me down. I'm going to count it as building me up. I'm not going to count this as a tragedy. I'm going to count it as a blessing, because when God gets in it, he'll turn it around. Are y'all still here? Getting ready to close my message now. But as I close, count it all joy, because you are proclaiming to the world who you believe in. You're proclaiming to the world who you believe in. I want to make a simple statement here. In a sea of water or a body of water, you got three choices. Three choices. You can sink, you can float, or you can swim. To sink, just give up. And there you go. You can float with a little skill. You can learn how to just float. You know, you don't really go anywhere. You don't really do much. Just float. How you doing? I'm just hanging in there. You're floating. What's going on in your life? Well, I'm just trying to survive, trying to keep my head above water. Well, you can learn the third skill. You can learn to swim. You're going to have some challenges. But when you start into that thing and you learn how to keep your stride, keep moving, kick your feet, just keep moving, then all of a sudden what you're swimming in doesn't have you under. You're over it. Am I preaching to somebody? What James was saying, I'm seeing my nation going under while some of them, I'm just trying to deal with it. I'm just trying to float. James is saying, learn how to swim. When you count it all joy, man, I got this thing. Let me kick. And when I learned that there's a coordination between you, when you move this hand and you kick this foot, you go forward. Yeah, I learned that in the old creek down home, you know. You get in that old sinkhole that we used to swim in, and you learn how to go with this hand and kick that foot, and you move forward. It works that way in life. It'll work that way in your life. But you got to change the frame of your mind and count it all joy. Scientist and innovator George Washington Carver serves as a great example of someone who learned to deal with life. Born in Missouri in a time of slavery, Mr. Carver witnessed his share of tragedies. His father died before he was born, and he was somewhere around 1864 because they didn't really keep good records of our folk. Somewhere around 1864. His mother and he was abducted by slave raiders. And they later returned George to the farm from which he was taken. His body was so frail in his early years that he could do no work out on the field, so they assigned him to household chores. And it was there that he gained an interest in plants and in living things. George Washington Carver, at an early age, gained the nickname of Plant Doctor because he loved plants and he loved living things. And he went on to overcome obstacles and barriers because he had the attitude of a champion, not one of a loser. He could have said, I don't have mother, I don't have father, I don't have nobody that I can call on. But he applied himself. And through the process of learning, went on to teach at Iowa College and later for 47 years at Tuskegee Institute. George Washington Carver blessed the world because he knew what to do with a peanut and others were trying to still figure it out. He could take a sweet potato and give you so many recipes that it would make your head swim. When he died in 1943, he was honored by many, but the whole process of life, he had learned something very, very precious. Don't look at your circumstance. Look for your opportunity. And when you count it all joy, you're looking for your opportunity. Count it all joy. As you prepare to leave here today, you're going to do one of three things. You're going to either sink, or you're going to continue to float, or you're going to learn to swim. By the way, I got a great swim instructor. His name is Jesus. He's the master. Father, we thank you now for your mercy and your love. We thank you, God, that learning to deal with life. And Lord, while some struggle with real problems, I'm not minimizing the problems that they face. But what I am doing is I'm glorifying you as being greater than any problem that could come their way. Help them through your grace and love to count it all joy and to learn to swim today. Thank you for the lesson of George Washington Carver, a man who life would have said, he's out, he's done. And he said, I've just begun. And he left his blessing. May we also leave our blessing as we learn to deal with life as a true champion of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your encouragement. Bless that one today that may be contemplating suicide. Don't end your life. Give it to Jesus and let him work it out. Bless that one, Lord, that may be facing situations that's beyond their control. May they learn to swim today. And Lord, may they learn to glorify you. Bless as only you can. Keep as only you can do. We humbly pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want to give the invitation in here for those that may be without Christ, or maybe you're saying, preacher, today I'm going to get serious. I'm going to get serious about life. If that's you, we invite you to come forward. We'll say prayer with you, and we'll social distance as we pray for you and pray with you. If you're online, drop us a line, crossroadbc.com, pastor@crossroadbc.com. We may be able to help you, and certainly we can always give you God's word. And in a way, turn it over to Christ and let him do his perfect work. Let's all stand. Did y'all learn something today? Amen. Joy, joy, down in my soul. Sweet,
beautiful,
soul-saving joy. Oh, joy, joy in my soul.
Come on, can we sing that one more time? Come on, joy. Come on, church, sing.
Joy, joy, God's great joy. Joy, joy, down in my soul. Sweet,
beautiful.
Soul-saving joy, oh, joy.
Joy in my soul.
Come on, one more time.
Joy,
joy,
God's great joy. Joy,
joy.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, you have spoken to us through thy manservant today. So please, as we leave this sanctuary, Holy Spirit, we are asking that you will lead us to someone, oh God, who are facing trials of life that is overbearing, that we, O God, will communicate to that person or persons the joy that comes from you. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this opportunity. And may your grace continue, dear God, to be with us as we exercise the love of God in our hearts. We ask this mercies in Jesus' name.